Spirit is greater. You light our way, God. You light our way. When evil is rising, you're rising higher with power to save, with power to save. Tomorrow.
No longer slave. storm surrounding me, let it break at your name.
stay right here in this place of worship. All over this place, just close your eyes, lift your hands, whatever you need to do to encounter the presence of God. The anointing is strong in this room this morning. God is moving in our hearts. He's moving in our midst. Don't miss this opportunity to engage His Spirit. Keep singing that worship team over and over. The book of Nahum, chapter 1, verse 5 says, "The mountains quake before Him. The hills melt. The earth heaves before Him, the world and all who dwell in it." It goes on to say, "The Lord is good." He's good. God is good. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in Him. But with an overflowing flood, He will make a complete end of the adversaries and will pursue His enemies into darkness. The earth quakes before Him. 2020 has quaked before Him. Coronavirus quakes before Him. The government quakes before Him. Our situations and our troubles quake before Him. So let us also quake before the Lord, the Almighty God. Let us tremble in His presence. Come on, let's sing that chorus again. And let us tremble in the presence of the Almighty God. Come on, church, sing it out. Jesus.
We worship You, Jesus. We love You, Jesus. We lift You up, Father. We glorify Your name. Strongholds are breaking today. For I am the way, the truth, and the life, says the Lord. Look unto Me, the author and the finisher of your faith. Have I not rescued you? Have I not saved you? Have I not delivered you? For I am here, says the Lord. Reach out to Me. Reach out to Me. Reach out to Me, says the living God. And I will rescue you. I will deliver you. I will do it again, for I am faithful. Come on, give God a big hand of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Just another moment in His presence. We thank You, Jesus. 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 Jesus.
Father, we thank you that you've been with us, that you have been faithful to your church. Lord, even in all the midst of everything that happened last year, you were with us. Your love never left us. You never forsook us. Even if some of us sometimes felt like you weren't there, or we were confused or weren't sure what was happening, you were right there the entire time. Your love has kept us. Your love has sustained us. Your love has brought us through. And we thank you, Father, that the old things have passed away and that all things have become new. We thank you, Lord, as we enter into this new year and this new season, that you are with us. We thank you that the earth trembles before you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Give God one more big hand of praise. You can be seated. Welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church. We're glad you're here. If this is your first time with us, please step by the Welcome Center in the foyer after the service. We'd love to give you a personal welcome to Carpenter Shop Church. At this time, we're going to continue to worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. There are several ways to give. You can do so by check. You can do so by text. You can do so on our My Church app. If you're giving by check, please include your email in the memo line so that we can send you a giving receipt. If you're giving online, just click the link in the comment section or in the description box, and we welcome you forward at this time to drop your offering in the buckets. God bless you as you give.
I appreciate that breakthrough on the end there. You folks were concerning me. I thought we were one of the quietest Pentecostal churches on the earth here this morning. Come on, what's up? What's wrong? Sugar? Chocolate? Praise the Lord. Somebody say, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Praise God. It's okay to sing. It's okay to shout. It's okay to lift your hands. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody feel like that this morning? Some of y'all just getting over the holiday, aren't you? I understand where you are. Guess what? It's a new chapter. It's a new chapter. There's a lot of, I think when I start to evaluate, I get into this evaluation mode once all the paper's thrown away and the Christmas seems to dim. For me, I get into this evaluation. Anybody with me? I get into this evaluation and I start shifting into the new. And I'm not there yet. I'm not gonna kid you. I'm not there yet. I'm still, somebody say downloading. I'm still downloading. I'm still processing what God wants to do. And I'm excited about that. January always excites me. I like January. I like the new year. I like turning the page on a new chapter. You know, my wife and I, we got a text message last night. Yesterday, we were just kind of communicating with your kids. How many of y'all communicate with your kids by text? Come on. You know, sometimes it's just convenient, like, what you doing? You know, what you doing? All right. So Abby texts back and says, well, we're working on a closet. We're cleaning up toys and, you know, just kind of redoing the bedroom. Come on, that's the January 1 deal, isn't it? Your bedroom needs to be done something to. Come on. Your closet. And so she says, what are y'all doing? And I just text her back, recliners, Netflix, snacks. Come on, guys. Are y'all with me here? Recliners, Netflix, Lifetime, Christmas, Hallmark. I think it was Hallmark yesterday. Praise the Lord. Just like to relax. Just like to put it in neutral. Just like to, you know, and I love those programs that, you know, I like those, what do they call them, series. I'm in a series. I'm going to start a series this morning. I like those series like When Calls the Heart. Come on. I'm telling my age now. I'll be 60 in February, bless the Lord. But I like those series, but here's the problem that Pastor Joy and I have. You're supposed to just watch one. And then maybe tomorrow night, you watch another one. You know what happens to Pastor Joy and I? We let the trailer play, and we just keep on watching. We're kind of like the Duracell battery at that point. We just keep on watching and watching and watching. And we just enjoy, you know, the next chapter. Can I just tell you that that's what God wants you to do for this 2021? He wants you to get ready. Come on, church. He wants you to get ready and enjoy the next chapter. Amen? Some of y'all are not easy to motivate this morning. I'm just being honest with you. God wants you to get ready to enjoy the next chapter. I love the fact that 2020 is gone. I was willing to boot it out as much as anybody. Amen? And let me just tell you something. Just because the calendar page has turned doesn't mean that a lot of change is yet before you. Okay? The virus isn't gone. The new president's not in office. Okay? Some of that will mean different things to some of you. There's a lot of things circling in the air and in the atmosphere. And you and I are called to pray. Amen? Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. Come on now. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I'm waiting, yielded and still. There needs to be a yielding. There needs to be a waiting. There needs to be an understanding that God is, listen, though he doesn't operate on our calendar, he's aware of our calendar. Okay? He's aware of what we're thinking about. He's aware of what we're doing. He's aware of our responses. He's aware of our posture and our position and what we have our focus on and what we have our energy on and what gets our passions. And I want to tell you something. I want to warn you this morning that if you were just to take a pen or even pull out your cell phone, you know, I'm a big person on notes. I have this little thing on app called Notes, and it's just loaded. I have one called To Do. Come on. I have one called To Do. And when I think about To Do, I go ahead and pull up the note and I put things on the to-do list. Like thank Kathy for the bread. Okay? That was good bread. Amen. Pastor Joy reminds me, don't forget the thank you notes. But I put things on the to-do list, and as I process what God is speaking to me and just dropping into my spirit, sometimes I'll pull up a note and I'll just make a little entry there. And so I would encourage you this morning, if you use the old way or pen and paper or whatever, I would encourage you that you would capture what the Holy Spirit is saying in the message today, because if you do, you'll be well able. Somebody say, well able. You'll be well able to talk to someone, to anyone, about God's great plan of salvation. I'm not preaching news this morning. God help me to never preach news. I'm responsible to break the word of God, to bring forth the truth of God's word. And if you just capture what happens today, springing from the Old Testament and the New, you'd be able to get into a real good conversation to a non-believer about the necessities of faith. Amen? That's important. You can like it or not. You can say great message or not. One thing for sure I know is that this word this morning is freighted with tremendous truth that comes from the scriptures. I am going to talk about our church. I am going to talk about our vision. This is a vision series. I love to talk about new things, new beginnings, new chapters, new seasons, if you will. Because here it is, January. Let's face it, we'll all mark down 2020 as disastrous. It's the year that we face tremendous challenge, hardship, opposition, obstacles, difficulty. A year that we all walked around with veiled faces, hiding our smile or maybe our frown. Who knows? It's the year where you run around looking at someone saying, is that a Noli? Is that Pastor Noli? And then when he speaks to you, then you say, oh yeah, it is. Hey, Pastor Noli. But you weren't sure. Why? Because we have veiled faces. It's been one of those years, a year that the church at large suffered the challenges of seeing people withdraw,
seeing people become comfortable with another mode of worship. And while it behooves us to get busy and to get engaged in what God is doing, it puts tremendous pressure on the church, because the church is now called to pastor here in the facility and to speak to those people empowered by the Holy Spirit and anointed by the Holy Spirit to speak to those who came. We're still obligated, somebody say obligated, we're still obligated to speak to the nations, and we use technology, and we thank God for that. And I thank God for our online audience, our online congregation. Please don't receive things that I say about being here as condemning. You have to do what you have to do, okay? And I'm glad if you're here, you're watching no matter where you are, I'm glad you're here. This word is for you today as well. I'm glad if you're home sitting in your recliner. I'm glad you're watching us instead of Netflix. Come on, somebody. I'm glad when calls the heart is for you right now to engage in what God is saying through Carpenter Shop International Church. I'm amazed at the people who respond. Got a note from someone just this week that I had no idea they were viewers. Just complimenting, wanting to sow in to what God is doing. I thank God for that. Nevertheless, no matter what the challenges or the pressures in the technological world, in the online world, in the world of preaching the gospel to the nations. And since I mentioned that, let me remind you, people have signed up to take a week. It's $125. $125. One gift all year long. It only takes 52 of you. One gift, $125. When we get that $125 that goes out to King Television and their staff takes the time to take this service right here and interpret it into the language of India, which is Hindi, and it touches the seventh largest landmass in the world, and we never leave a Husky. Today, our service, like all weeks, is in 182 nations. That's amazing. Who would have ever thought that God would enable us to be able to speak to 182 nations of the earth? You better have something biblically solid to say. Because people are listening. Yes, it's an amazing year. We're still the church. We still saw God move in 2020. We still saw people come to Jesus in 2020. We still baptized in 2020. We still did a lot of things that are inerrant in preaching the gospel in 2020. And some, maybe we're not as engaged as others, but guess what? That's the truth always, whether you have a COVID or not. That's just true all the time. Some people are not engaged anyway, be it a virus or no virus. But we saw souls saved, lives changed, and we're excited for all that God has on the horizon, on the brink of 2021 here. I'd like to share who we are, what we consider our assignment and our mission. And the first four messages that I preach for you will not come consecutively, but the ones that I preach are going to be about Carpenter Shop International Church and why we feel we exist. I promise you it's going to be from the Bible. It's not really just a treatise on our Constitution, but it involves that. Carpenter Shop International Church is a multi-ethnic. Just think about this. It's a multi-ethnic, multi-generational body of believers whose vision is to what? You should be able to say this. Whose vision is to love all people. Man, that's... some churches check out on that right off the bat. Oh, we're just called to this group. No, you're called to everybody. You're to love all people, and not only love them, you're to win them to Christ. And not only win them, you are to build those people up in discipleship. Our short vision statement is we build people. You're to build them in discipleship, and then you're to do something else. You're to send them out to fulfill their divine destiny. Just a few weeks ago, we had 13 people to come forward saying, I feel like God is positioning me divinely to do something unique for him. So we go on a journey with them. We've been meeting with them, scheduling more meetings now to come up in the year 2021, helping them to get involved in the next level. A couple of them have already signed up for classes. working on credential processes, those things that are necessary for humanity, necessary for legalities. I don't have credentials because the Assemblies of God wants me to. I have credentials because the government requires it. It's an IRS requirement, not an Assemblies of God requirement. If you're going to break bread in communion, if you're going to baptize people, if you're going to marry folks and bury folks, our government says you have to have a license to do it. So we don't do it for the Assemblies of God, we do it for our government, because you're supposed to honor your government. Even when challenges come, you're still supposed to obey the law. Amen? And we're the church. And this series will help us to understand that God has in fact called us to love, win, build, and sin. That's our vision. It hasn't changed in several years, and I don't think it needs to be changed. If you and I love, win, build, and sin, we can keep on doing that. Why? Because that's a vision that's perpetual. It keeps on going and going and going and going. And so today, we want to talk about love. And if you grab what's in here in the confines of this message, I promise you, you'll be able to have a healthy conversation with anyone about the kingdom of God. Let's talk about love, because that's the motive. That's the message. That's the means of getting people from darkness to light, for getting people ready for eternity. We're really called, listen, put quite simply, we're really called to make it as hard as possible to get to hell from a husky. Let me say that one more time. Some of you got it. We're really called to make it as hard as possible to get to hell from a husky. Because we should be reaching and teaching and preaching and evangelizing. Not just the church, not just the pastor, not just the elders, not just the leaders, not just the kids ministry. Every one of us are called to proclaim the good news, the evangelion, the good news of Jesus Christ. Every one of us. And if you and I truly come to an understanding of why we're placed on this earth, thank God for Rick Warren, Purpose-Driven Life. He wrote a book several years ago that became a New York Times bestseller and still sweeping the nations today in other languages, that just deals with one thing. What am I on earth for? If you settle that, man, you can settle a lot of things in your life. Why am I placed here on earth? God has purpose. I love Jeremiah 1, 4 and 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and ordained you a prophet to the nations. I love that. It's my hallmark verse. I love it. And if you understand why you're placed on this earth, then and only then will we be able to get busy doing the business of the kingdom of God rather than fulfilling our own passions and desires only. God wants you to have fun. He does. He created the things that we have fun on. Water, trees, mountains, land. He wants you to have fun. But he wants you to keep everything where, come on, help me here, in balance. I love what Paul said to the church at Rome. He said, listen, God commendeth, I'm using the King James here for everyone under 125 years old. He says, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He says, God commendeth his love. That simply means that God, the creator, just didn't say, I love you to the moon and back. That's how we say it today on our plaques and on our social media. Love you to the moon and back. God just didn't simply say that, but what did he do? He demonstrated that love. I remember a gospel tract many years ago with a picture on it that I saw. Jesus was holding his arms wide open. At the bottom of the tract, it simply said, someone asked Jesus, Master, how much do you love me? And to that, Jesus replied, this much, and stretched out his arms and died. In the Torah of the Old Testament, that's the first five books, the Pentateuch, a blood sacrifice was what was required for the forgiveness of sin. That's why I'm telling you, listen, if you pin this down, you'll have a good understanding to talk to people about the things of God. What was required for sin? Adam and Eve were placed in the Garden of Eden. They were told, it's all yours. There was literally enough because God created it. And he said, what about it after he created it? It was good. okay? He says, it's good. He said, have at it. He said, enjoy it. He said, it will sustain you. And it was meant to sustain them for how long? Forever. Eternally. You're absolutely right. And there was only one prohibition. Just simply one thing that God said, don't touch this. Boom, 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 boom. Did I get anybody else listening then? Only one prohibition. And one thing he said, don't touch this. And he said in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, do not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of this garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you do, you shall surely die. And guess what? Thanks, Uncle Adam. Because we are a descendant of the human race. We are a descendant of Adam. We are all guilty. Because Paul said in the New Testament, he spoke to the church in Corinth, he said, when one sinned, come on here, we all sinned. He said, it only took one, and then he comes back before you can even think about it. Why is he saying this? He comes back and said, so therefore, when one died for sin, guess what he did? He died for all of our sins. What a beautiful thing, the gospel of Jesus. In other words, when you die spiritually, you cut yourself off from sustenance. Think about it. Adam and Eve had everything that they needed. Everything that they would ever need. Everything that they would ever want. I mean, just walking around, just enjoying everything. Jesse Duplantis is preaching in Botkins, Ohio today. Pastor Mike is there. Jesse Duplantis was the one who said, these guys were crazy. They had it made naked in the garden and no lawnmower. Didn't even have to cut grass. Because grass wasn't an issue. Grass and briars and thistles and thorns never came into the picture until when? Until sin came into the picture. And then God said, listen, Adam, I have something to tell you. By the sweat of your brow, you will earn your living all the days of your life. And by the way, I've thrown some things in there to help you along. Poison ivy, briars. I've thrown a few things in there to get in your way, okay? Wow. So you cut yourself off when you die, that death, and you're born in sin, and you and I are born in sin. What you do is you cut yourself off from that communion that you had with the Father. You cut yourself off from the peace. And that's why you never get any peace in this life until you come face to face with the Prince of Peace, because of conviction of the Holy Spirit draws you to a place of repentance and you give your life to Jesus Christ and you are what? Born again, a second time, okay? A spiritual birth. And so Adam and Eve, they yielded to temptation of the devil in the form of a serpent. And immediately, absolutely immediately, the Bible says the eyes of them both were opened. And they realized that they were naked. Why do you think we call this a birthday suit? Why do you think when you're in your room and someone just barges in and you go, you cover yourself. Why? Because no matter what good shape you're in or how well you think you look, you're still ashamed when someone comes upon you like that. And so Adam and Eve take it upon themselves and try to create some means of trying to make this feeling go away. What feeling, Pastor? Well, the feeling that came upon them when they were in the garden in the cool of the day, the Bible says, and the voice of the Lord God who comes walking in the garden in the cool of the day thunders throughout and says, Adam, where are you? Now please, don't you think for an instant that God didn't know where they were. This is not about GPS. This is not about global positioning systems. This is not about where you are geographically. God was asking Adam, where are you in light of my rule? Where are you in light of my word? And so that's the same thing he's asking us today.
Where are we in light of God's word? We've got more than just one prohibition. We got a pile of things that the Bible speaks about and a pile of things that the Bible talks about in terms of blessings. I mentioned it last Sunday, over 6,000 promises. We've got a lot from Genesis to Revelation. But the one thing that we must have is relationship with Jesus Christ that brings us back to peace with God, because fellowship was broken. Some of you are hearing this and you need to jot it down, because you're going to have opportunity in 2021 to talk to people who know nothing. You'd be surprised how biblically illiterate the world is. Let me shock you again. You'd be surprised how biblically illiterate the church is. People don't study the Bible. People don't know the Bible. People don't follow the Bible as much as they should. Where are you? Adam runs and hides. And so God's redemptive plan is foreshadowed here in the Old Testament narrative. The fig leaves are insufficient. Remember, this is where God the Father lays the foundation for just what it takes to bring humankind, his highest form of life, back to fellowship. He takes out his trusty knife. I don't know how he did it, but all I know is he killed an animal. He probably just said, "Be dead," okay? Throat slit. I don't know how God slayed the animal, but all I know is he slayed the animal. And when he slayed the animal, what happens when you slay an animal? The blood flows out. And so God did that because he removed the skins and he presents the skins to Adam and Eve. Here, put on these. They're called Levi's. Okay? Under Armour. Call them what you want. You know, I don't know. That's the reason we have clothing today. It's because we want to cover up this body that we're ashamed of. And so God supplies. Think about this. God supplies exactly what Adam and Eve need for the moment. Okay? But guess what? It was only a covering. It didn't do away with the nature. Okay? It just simply covered it up. Are you covering up anything? Are we covering up anything? Are we holding anything back from the Lord? Do we have a Monday character and a Sunday character? Do we have a Friday night character and a Sunday character? Are we just covering things up? Or have we truly been redeemed by the shed blood of Jesus Christ? Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. God's redemptive plan foreshadowed here in the book of Genesis 3:21. The Lord God made coats of skins for Adam and his wife and clothed them. But yet we have this plan of God unfolding. That's why the forerunner, John the Baptist, who understood what his mission was, who understood what he was called to preach, he understood that he had to preach a baptism of repentance, but it was time for him to decrease and for Jesus to increase. So he opened his mouth up when he sees Jesus coming down the road. And John records it in chapter 1, verse 29, where he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away," not covers, but takes away the sin of the world. And I don't know about you, but I'm kind of thankful that the sins of my life have been taken away. As far as the east is from the west, has he removed our transgressions? And he's taken our iniquity and done what? Cast it into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us anymore. Sometimes the hardest one to forgive is you for yourself, because God's already done it. The gospel, the good news of Jesus, is the power of God unto salvation, Paul said to the church at Rome. John in his gospel, this version of the good news, said this. He said in John 3:16, "For God so loved," that word is so important, "for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Love was the motivation. That's what we're talking about today. Love was the motivation. That love is what? It's agape love.
It's not storge, that's familial love like a father has for his son. It's not phileo, that's brotherly love like two guys have for one another who like to fish and hunt together. It's not even eros, which is not even found in the Bible, which is a sexual, erotic kind of love. It's where we get our word erotic from. It's not storge, it's not phileo, it's not eros. It's agape. It's agape. It's unconditional. And even when you come to Jesus, somebody help me here, you still are not going to get everything right. You are going to still sin. But here's the good news. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. God doesn't want you to sin. Paul told the church at Rome in Romans chapter 6, he said, you don't use the gospel as a license to sin. Let him that died to sin, let him sin no more. You don't use it as a license. Say, well, I once was lost in sin. Here I go again. No. No, you don't use it as a license to do wrong and just come to the confessional booth and say, well, I messed up again. The fact of the matter is you and I mess up frequently. But here's the good news. My dear children, I write this to you so that you what? Will not sin, but if anybody does sin, and they will, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who is sitting at the right hand of the Father today, making intercession for the saints, pleading our case, saying to the Father, look at them, they are my righteous ones, because his righteousness has been imputed unto you. Wow. He doesn't condemn you. You ever felt condemned? That's a bad feeling. You ever been telling the truth and someone believes that you weren't, and they thoroughly convince you that they don't believe you? It's a bad feeling when they slap condemnation on you and you know better. But verse 17, I love verse 17. It says, for God did not send his son into the world to, here we go, condemn the world, but to save the world through him. He has simply come to take you from darkness to light. John continues, drop down to verse 19. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, and I underscore this, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. It's human nature to love darkness more than light. How close to the edge can I get without falling off? I was so thankful when my son, my elder son, surrendered his life. I remember going and visiting him on the West when he was not serving the Lord. He was really not where he was supposed to be. The crazy thing of it was is he had enrolled in Bible college. But he was trying his best, and he said this to me. He said, I was just wanting to get as close to the edge as possible. But Dad, I just never felt good about it. I just never felt good about it. And he said, I realized that the Father had paid the price, giving his only son. And it was so liberating for me to know that I didn't have to set my boundaries. But when I did sin, God forgave me. Okay? Somebody needs to hear that this morning. Listen. Stop the run. Stop the struggle. Don't try to live as close to the edge as you can. I just realized just this past week I got my credentials in the mail. We get them every year. And it's a card. Our fellowship, my credentials are not forever. My fellowship requires that I fill out a renewal application every year for credentials. That you go through and some sort of accountability. And one of our friends said, he said, when I get my card, he said, I put it over the door of my office at the church so that every time I walk out of my door into the world, I look and there's a reminder, there's a card that says, the Assemblies of God General Council Fellowship in Springfield, Missouri is hereby recognizing you
as a minister of the gospel. And so I thought, man, that's cool. I need to do that too. And then I thought, no, I don't need mine in my office. I don't go there much. I need it in my pocket. What's in your wallet? Okay. I need it on my person to remind me that I've been called to a higher standard. To whom much is given, come on, church, much is required. And I'm called to remember that God has set me apart and that the standards by which I'm called to live by in the Word of God are the same as yours as a Christian, but I'm called even to a higher standard as one who proclaims the gospel. Men love darkness more than they do light. And sometimes if we're not careful, we can push the envelope and push the envelope and try to see how close to the edge we can be and still just hold conviction at bay. Have you ever done what you know is wrong? And what you're trying to do is hold conviction at bay. But to him who does wrong, to him is what? It's sin. If you know to do right and choose rather to do wrong, the Bible declares that that's sin. What is sin? Sin is missing the mark. No, not just, if you study that original language, it's hamartia. In the original language, it's used the analogy of an archer. And the archer pulls back the bow and releases the arrow. And not only did they miss the right target, they hit the wrong one. That's hamartia, it's a strong Greek word. It's missing the mark and hitting the wrong target. And that's exactly what we've done with our lives. And for some of us, that's exactly what we continue to do when we come to Jesus. We don't always get it right. We still make mistakes. But when we do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the Holy One. This is the verdict, verse 19. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light. And you and I must understand that the world that he's called us to would choose darkness over light by their nature. Because our deeds are evil. Romans 3:23 says this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I told you before I started preaching, if you pin this down, you'll be able to talk about the kingdom of God with anyone. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not too many days ahead of us, we'll celebrate the life and the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King. I pull one of his quotes. This is what he said. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Love, love, love. The motive has to be love. The motive of this church has not a bigger building, not finer things, not more property, and all those things are nice, but the motive must be what? Love. We're called to love all people. The message has to be love, and the means has to be love. And if this love is truly in you and truly in me, my friend, you're going to love people. You're going to love people. Every person, all people. Why do you want to preach in India for $125 a week? Because it's a door that's opened up. And I don't want to go to India. I've been there. And $125 a sermon is cheap. When your target is the seventh largest landmass in the world. Seventh largest landmass in the world. Where in their society, 70% of the population never lives to reach the age of 20. Somebody needs to be preaching a message somewhere where the gospel can be penetrated into the heart and the mind and the spirit of all of those persons. And God's given us that opportunity. Thank you for helping with that. If love is the motivation, you're going to love all people. 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And he that loveth not does not know God. Why? For God is love. I remember as a new believer wanting to know that scripture, and I did it by song. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So, beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, I won't sing it again. But you can put the gospel into song and learn it. We're called to love, agape, unconditionally, one another. And here's the beautiful thing about this. You may not be enjoying this message, but I sure is. I'm loving it. I love this next verse. John 13:35. One of my Pentecostal brothers, Pastor Noli, said, this is the true physical evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Okay? It's John 13:35. They joke about that because we believe and teach that the initial physical evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is speaking in other tongues. But here's the real deal. John 13:35 says this. By this, somebody say this. By this, all men will know that you, I'm watching you, you are my disciple. You are my student. You are my pupil in the original language. You are my one who sits at my feet and desires to learn of me, Jesus said. By this, all men will know that you're my disciple. It's conditional. What is the condition? If you have agape, one for another. Wow. The proof is that you have love. Thank you, Lord, for my grandfather. I watched my grandfather as a kid running around the country store. Phillips Street, still call that today. Had a country store, about 200 square feet. Potato bin, onion bin, hoop cheese, quarts of Mayola milk, no gallons. Just paper quarts, orange and red label, remember that? Bananas, peppermint sticks, 2-for-a-penny cookies, Baby Ruth candy bars that look like a policeman's billy stick for 15 cents. I stopped and got a pack of M&M's the other day. I hadn't done this in a while, but I stopped and got a pack of M&M's. M&M's peanut butter is my favorite because Pastor Joy likes them, okay? $2. For a small bag of M&M's. I didn't know that. Why? Because we buy the big bag. Okay? So I'm thinking, $2 for this? $2. And I remember growing up in that country store, and I remember the principles that my grandfather laid down, not just to me. I was just his grandson, but he was living his life, and he owned a business. And I remember my dad saying when my grandpa died, he said, you know, it was sad. If I'd have known he was doing this, I would have never let him keep on doing it. They looked at the books, my grandfather's books, and all he was doing was providing a service for the community. He really wasn't making any money. He's probably eating out of the store. That was probably a good thing. But he really wasn't making anything. He was teetering on the edge of going in the hole all the time. But he had a store. And in the back of that store, like maybe right where beneath the cross is, I remember an old green cloth-covered sign that he had hanging up in the back. It was ragged around the edges, and the writing was embossed gold. I don't know where he got it from, but it was worn out. But it simply said, it was kind of like the mission of his business. And it said, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. This is the golden rule. And I remember running around that store as a kid. And we asked Granddaddy for things every day. Can I have a piece of cheese? Can I have cookies? Can I have a peppermint stick? Can I have a Mayola ice cream? You know, we only had two things in the box. It was a Nutty Buddy or an Eskimo pie. That was it. You didn't have a lot of variety. And we would ask him, and he would say, I'd say, Granddaddy, can I have a? And he'd say, go ahead. Go ahead. He never said no. Maybe that's where this came from. I don't know. But I thank God, here's my point, worship team can join me. I thank God that while I run around that little store, I got modeled for me agape love. I remember the sign swinging in the breeze, 29 and 9/10 cent a gallon for gas. I remember the sign out at the road, red letters. It was a pure oil station, Winslow Oil Company, Hertford, North Carolina. 29 and 9/10 cent per gallon. I remember when the gas shortage came, and I remember cars lining up, and gas was what? Rationed. We've had other things to go through in our life besides a pandemic. Gas was rationed, and I remember people coming up to my granddaddy and coming into the store and cussing. They were white. Why are you letting him get gas? In other words, I should be getting gas because I'm white and you're a white store owner. And my grandfather stopped what he was doing and looked at him and said, because he's my customer, you're not. I've never seen you before. And so my grandfather lived, do unto others as you would have. He lived what he believed. Treat people the way you want to be treated. So if I'm your regular customer, then when times come difficult, I will look out for you. And so his rationed gas did not go to the passersby who only wanted their tanks full. Jesus had a lot to say about this too. He said, some of you follow me only because you ate and had your fill. But he said, listen, I want to tell you, I'm the bread of life. Wow. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And Brittany, I wandered around that little store, and love for humanity fell on my shoulders. Love for the people that were like me, and love for the people that were not like me. If we're going to touch this region the way God expects us to touch it, it's going to be because we fulfilled the very first thing that said we were called to do, and that is loving. We love. We love. Does it bother you that people are going to hell every day because they never had anybody tell them that Jesus is the way? Does it move you at all that people are leaving this earth having never prepared for the life that is to come, the life that will last forever? Isaiah prophesied of these evil days that you and I are living in. And he said this. He said, Isaiah 5:14, hell hath enlarged itself. That's a simple four words. But I thought, let me just break this down. Let me see what other translations say. NIV says this, therefore death expands its jaws, opening wide its mouth. Into it will descend the nobles, the masses, with all their brawlers and revelers. Then the NLT, the New Living Translation, says, the grave is licking its lips with anticipation, opening its mouth wide, the great and the lowly, and all the drunken mob will be swallowed up. I want you to help me this year in 2021 to commit to preaching the gospel in the most effective means we can find. Into everybody we possibly can, starting right here in our own Jerusalem, Ahoskie, North Carolina, telling them that Jesus loves them, that Jesus died for them,
that Jesus arose for them, that Jesus ascended for them, and that Jesus is, in fact, coming back for them. He loves you. He loves you. He really loves you. And if you're here this morning and you're not satisfied that your heart is set on the things above in a relationship with Jesus Christ, I want you simply right now, just slip up your hand. Just slip your hand up. Pastor, pray for me. I don't want to miss eternity and go to hell. Just pray for me. Anyone at all? Just pray for me. Just pray for me. God bless you. Thank you. Would you this morning make a fresh commitment on the very first Sunday of this year to say this, Pastor, I'm committing to love all people to the very best of my ability in 2021. I'm committed to helping you fulfill the vision of this church. Carpenter Shop International Church is a multi-ethnic, multi-generational ministry whose mission is to love all people. Before it was our vision, it was God's vision. Okay, come on, give the Lord praise. Before it was our vision, it was God's vision. So would you stand with me this morning? God bless you. Let me just pray as we move toward worship here, extending an open altar. Father, in the name of Jesus, mighty and strong, I thank you for the treatise on the kingdom of God this morning that flows from your word. From original sin all the way to redemption. Thank you for the theological truths that were extracted from your word today to teach us the journey, the path is always motivated by love. Help us to do the same as you've done for us. You've loved us unconditionally. Help us to leave this place today with a deep commitment to love all people. To love all people unconditionally as you loved us. It's in the name of Jesus Christ, the strong Son of God, that we pray this prayer. Amen and amen. Listen, if you're here today and you'd just like to come and stand in his presence, you can distance yourself. But as the worship team just sings in this last song, if you'd just like to say, hey, I want to get alone with God for a moment. I want to download what his directives are for me. I want to stand in his presence and receive from him. If you're sick in body, you need somebody to pray for you, just come. We're committed to that. We're committed to that. Come as they sing this morning. If you'd just like to stand in his presence for a few moments. Thank you.
Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today that was brought forth. We just ask, Father, that you help us to walk out agape love, Father, to love all people, not just people in our circle or people we're familiar with love, but all people. And that we can just walk in the steps that you have ordained for us, Father, and that we can just hear from you as we walk into 2021 and to just continue to live out the mission of Carpenter Shop International Church. Have a great week, and we just love you all. Amen.